Praise the Lord. Sometimes I look at my notes and just think, there are plenty of. Praise the Lord. We thank God for the service so far and for bringing us to another Lord's Day, even to hear from Him. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your mercies upon us. We thank you because you keep us in thee and in your grace. And you do not let us fall to the left or to the right of thy word, of thy truth. We are grateful, O Lord. Even now we ask that you open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, that we may learn of thee and adjust our ways even before you. Help us, O Lord, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we'll be looking at a series, Living in the Presence of God. And the first topic, which by all accounts now we're going to three lessons, is the just shall live by faith. And last week we looked at what constitutes the just. How did God come about this statement? And we came to an understanding, hopefully, understanding God's mind, that truly He is going to judge the world. In fact, the Bible tells us that it is from the house of God that judgment itself will start. And we saw this in the visions of Habakkuk, and how Habakkuk saw what the children of God were doing and called on God to save. And God answered him and told him that he's not as if he's not aware, but judgment is coming. But in the plea and in God's heart, he does not wish that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He had planned this and told Habakkuk, write this in a vision. This vision will come, will not tarry. Let he that reads it, read it and take heed to run. And what is that? That he is going to judge the world. He is going to judge the church, everybody, you know. And he gave the criteria and said, the man whose soul is lifted up, I have no pleasure with him. I have no pleasure with him. And rather, it is he that is the upright, that he is pleased with, you know. And he now says, the just, the upright, shall live by faith. So we looked at how all that came. But today now, what is this faith that God is talking about? He has mentioned it even as far back as Deuteronomy. He said, these people have no faith, you know. And even if you look at how he told the serpent in judgment, you know, that the seed of the woman will one day come and bruise your heel, you know. Telling salvation, giving salvation to Adam and Eve, in a sense. And he had been, this plan has been going on, you know, in types and examples. But today we want to actually see in the scriptures, as we're taking through the doctrinal class, you know, about inerrancy of the scriptures. Yes. And this thing we are talking about called faith is dependent on that. There is no missing it. What God says, His word, is the premise on this whole thing called faith. And we'll come to understand it even today. So let's start. It says, faith is not a means to attain to or earn righteousness by self-works. It's not the means. If you want to attain the righteousness of God, which they couldn't do and which we couldn't do, you cannot achieve it by self-works. So if you say you have faith is not for self-works. So faith and self-works don't go hand in hand. They don't go together. It's either you are doing one or you are doing the other. Faith is not a means to attain to or earn righteousness by self-works of keeping the law and good works, though we can't really achieve righteousness through this means, self-works, it can't happen. The righteousness that God will accept, we cannot achieve it. You know, we can't achieve it through self-works. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But rather, it is the means or way blessed by God to attain to righteousness by imputation. That is what faith is. The righteousness that God wants, that Adam could not deliver, failed to, that Jesus brought, God gives it to us. We attain to it by faith. By faith. That is what God wants. That is how God, and it's by imputation. Imputation means it has nothing to do with you. Somebody has to give you something. Somebody has to input it in you. And faith is what enables us to attain the righteousness of God. That is by imputation. Not by self-works. Self-works, we have failed. We have failed the means by self-works. Human beings have failed. God has declared us sinners. We can't attain to it by self-works. So, but God is not unmindful. So he provided a means, provided another way, which is what? Faith in the Savior, the upright one. If you remember our Isaiah, when we read it, 57, you know, it is in his peace we are able to walk upright. It is in his death that what? We have rest and that we are taken away. Remember? So doing that, having that applied to you is by faith. Let's quickly look at some references to collaborate. Let's look at Romans 3. Romans 3, 20 to 25. Romans 3, 20 to 25. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, this is the law according to self-works. Self-works. By it is the knowledge of sin. 21. But now, look at it. He was telling you that there are two ways to get to righteousness. The knowledge of the law, which by works has failed. So he's not telling us there is another way to get to the righteousness of God. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is what? Which is by faith of who? Of Jesus Christ. Unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, that is a peace offering, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus Christ. The same picture. So to attain the righteousness of God that Jesus Christ brought by Jesus Christ, it is by what? By faith. It's by faith. So note that, point one. So it's the means to attain the righteousness of God by Jesus Christ. That is what faith is. Faith is also, it is a belief. A belief. A holding on to a promise made by God, his word to you. To you. That he will deliver you from the judgment and acquit you from all charges, even in Jesus Christ. It's still the same thing. We are still in the same, we'll come to see it next week, framework of what faith is. The judgment is there, the deliverer is there, and how do you attain that which God has offered in the deliverer? It is by faith. It is by faith. There's no other way. A third party different from you that is sinless, that will stay in your position and do that which God wants, which God will accept and apply it to you. To get that, to attain to it, that righteousness through that means is by faith. Let's look at Galatians 2:16. Holding on, a belief, holding on to the promise of God to you. Holding on to it, belief. He will acquit you of all charges because of the Savior. Galatians 2 and 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. It's not, a man is not set free by the works of the law. He's saying it again. But by the what? But by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that he might be, that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be what? Be justified. Again. So it's in Jesus. You believe. You hold on. That is what faith also is. This belief called faith cannot be seen. Neither is it tangible. You can't see faith. You can't see it. It's not tangible. Faith is not what you can hold on to. It's not physically visible. You know, this belief called faith cannot be seen. Neither is it tangible. But its effects can. The effects of it can. You can see the effects of faith. But you can't see faith, but to know that faith is working, you can see the effect of faith. Its effects can. And indeed, its effects can prove to be what? To be substantive and evidentiary of the existence in the just. The just shall live by faith. So how do you know the just has faith? It is the evidence of it that we can see in the just. You can't see it, but look for the evidence and you see it in the just. You know, and one of the first things we read, Hebrews 11:1. You know, if we go to it. Hebrews 11:1. And it defines it there. You know, we'll come to tear many of them, you know, come to look at them. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Substance is something you can actually see, perceive. A lot of words for faith. But it is that which is hoped for. You know, it's the proof of that which you are hoping for. You know, and it's the evidence of that which is not seen. And the many of things we are hoping for, even in the context of the inherent scripture, God's word to us, you know. And God told, always looking back to how we started, he told Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. The just needs to substantively prove. You can't just say mouth. Live by it. Hold on to it. That proof is the evidence that God sees in them that they are just. You can't claim just by mouth, though. You can't say you are just by mouth. There must be proof. And that proof comes through faith, and that faith will be evidenced. So we see a broad definition. It's evidentiary. So you can't claim faith without seeing the evidence. You know? And to it, you see some of the ministers like James alluding to it, telling you that your faith must show some evidence. And what was the evidence James was pointing to? Can anybody? You are claiming you have faith, but something is missing. You can't just be, yes? Sorry? Yes, what kind of works? Good works. We'll come to see. Let's look at James 2, 17 to 18. James 2, 17 to 18. James 2, 17 to 18. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, it is dead, being alone. You are just claiming it for claiming's sake. I have faith. Nothing to show. It's dead being alone. 18. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith. One side, I have works. So people can say, I'm doing good deeds. So the Bible is very careful here. Because unbelievers also do what? Good deeds. Man do good deeds. And that's the self-works. Why is this one different? It is the way the evidence points back to faith. That is how the works of the Christian, of the just, is different. Because when you do the works yourself, you are relying on yourself for righteousness, which God has said that way, is no more. He won't accept it. But when you now rely on another, right? And because of that believing in the Savior, right? That belief propels you to now do the works that God will accept. So your faith must come first. Then it will generate the good works. But it must show that you have been given that faith by the good works that you do. So 18, it says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, for those who claim faith. Then another one will say, I have works. He says, show me thy faith without thy works, which some of us claim. We have faith, but there is no works to it. As Christians, we say we are Christians, but we refuse to do good works. That one has also is a question mark on your justification. You cannot be claiming to be the child of Jesus Christ and nothing to show, which is what many of us do. So we're on one side. Then he now says, there are those who claim that way, and I will show thee my faith by my what? By my works. That's it. So that is the evidence. You can't see my faith, but if you see my works, they will point you to, I have the faith of Jesus Christ. They will point you there. So don't give yourself heartache. No, do the works, and the works will speak for you. But many of us, lip service, we don't do the work. There's something there in verse 22. Okay, let's look at, in that same James, let's look at verse 22. Just move to 22. It says, seest thou how faith works, or wrought with his works, and by works was faith made what? Perfect. That is how your faith, in a sense, is complete, by the good works that we do because of faith. And that faith now is tied to who? To Jesus Christ, not of yourself. Says, they, the evidences of faith, reveal themselves in acts of love and charity. and hope. That is where the works are. That's how they reveal themselves, you know. And we can see this in 1 Corinthians 13:13. You know, let's look at it. Very popular. You know, we're just trying to give life to these scriptures that we read most of the time, but cannot link it. It says, "For now abided faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is what? Is charity." The evidence. You can actually see charity. You can see the charitable works that people do. And when you do it, because those three are linked, it's actually pointing to faith that you have it. That is pointing that you have it. The evidence reveal themselves in acts of love, charity, and hope, which are then proven by the test of faith to reveal the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit and not the lust of the flesh. We'll get to this also. Your faith to actually show, you know, these good gifts of charity, they themselves must be what? Must be tried. For them to actually show. For them to show a manifestation in you. Let's see this. Let's take James 1 and we'll look from verses 2 to 8. James 1. James 1. James 1. 2 to 8. So, we want to see that this evidence of faith are manifest in us. And they are manifest, that is, they show in us, and we see them most of the time when our faith is tried. That is how God puts it. This thing is actually interesting. God will come to the just and look at them and see certain things. What will he see? He must see the fruit of the Spirit. He must see them in you. And how are they put in us? How does the Spirit activate these things in us? How do they put it in us? It is through the trial of your faith. In one other place, Jesus says, John the Baptist was talking about the baptism that Jesus will come and do. Right? He mentioned one that is very popular to every one of us. What's that one? Water baptism. I mean, that's the one we like. But he also mentioned another one. Fire. That is the trial of our faith. Jesus does both. So we see James 1, 2 to 8. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. You can also include trials and tests. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Worketh what? Patience. Worketh. Trying of your faith worketh patience. Patience is one of what? The fruit of the what? Spirit. So since he didn't say fruits of the Spirit, the fruit is one. If you check your Bible, it doesn't call them fruits of the Spirit. It calls them fruit of the Spirit. So if you see patience there, that means what? All the other fruits are being worked by the trial of your faith. So, patience, long-suffering, kindness, love, hope. These are what? Manifestations. Faith is work. The trial of your faith is working them in you. So when you go through hard times, tough times, you just shout. You have removed yourself from the whole concept of the just walking by faith. It is in the concept. It is in the design. For those who are the just, for those who must live by faith, their faith must be tried. And it's not try for trying's sake. It's trying to put this fruit in us, which God will now see on that day of judgment and call you upright because they're in you. It is not on that day of judgment that you start looking for what to show God. No, we said that last week. It must be in you before that time.
So God is taking this time of life to work this thing in us before that day. So we are going through trials. Everybody, God allowing us. We see there are many types of trials. We see them, the whole example of faith, you read the level, many types, but one outcome. One outcome. The fruit must be work in us. So he says, know this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work. Let this thing settle. Trial come. Before he said Jack Robinson, you just run somewhere else. You do this. No patience, no long suffering, no kind. You just take off. What Bible is saying, let this patience have a perfect work. That he may be what? Perfect. He may be what? And this is another part of your trial that God does. When God inputs the fruit, right? When the fruit stays, sin goes away. That is perfection. When the fruit stays and are manifest, the fruit of the Spirit, which God is working with this thing, when it stays in you, sin goes away. Permanent. And if it's not in you, you find out that you are still struggling with sin. So that's the balance. One must take up, one must take. But for God to work this thing permanently in us, our faith must be tried, and that trial must bring in the fruit of the Spirit. And once it stays, those sin goes away. Evil that we do, thoughts, everything just go. The more the fruit stays. So that's why it says, that ye may be perfect and entire, complete, wanting nothing, lacking nothing of the requirement for judgment. So on that day, God will not say, those that are just, there will be nothing found in them. After all, the Bible says, when you list the fruit of the Spirit at the end, it says what? Against all of this, there is what? There is no law. All that the works of self-works are done in us is gone away. There is no law. But these things must come by what? By the trials of your faith. And that is what faith does. That's what faith does. Faith results in the enduring trust in God and his power to save. Enduring trust in God and his power to save. In an assurance, making those who believe in him survivors of the harshest of God's judgment over sin and death, bringing them into the land of the Holy God, his kingdom, his presence, by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let's look at Isaiah 57:13. An enduring trust. Faith is not trust. Faith produces trust. Because you believe, you trust. If you don't believe, you will not trust. Faith produces trust. Isaiah 57 and verse 13. Okay. It says, when thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. That's the first part. But look at the second part. But he that putteth his trust in me shall what? Possess the land. And shall do what? Shall inherit my holy mountain. He was talking about those who are relying on other things. They will all fail. But those that put their trust in God will inherit God's mountain, inherit God's kingdom. Faith produces this trust. Because if you read all of this, Isaiah 57, It is faith on it, on the righteous one. Let's also look at Hebrews 10, 19 and 23, 19 to 23 of Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 19 to 23. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by what? By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart. In what? In full assurance of what? Faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without what? Wavering. Without wavering. For he is faithful that has what? Promised. We'll come back. I'm just cause of time. I'm picking them here and there. But next week there's a full teaching on hand. This thing connects. Well, now we see that faith is trust. Faith is also what? Faith produces trust. Faith produces assurance. Assurance in who? In God. In what God himself has said concerning this thing called salvation. As the believed word, in the light of the word, faith is the believed word. The word of God that you believe. That is your faith. The word of God that you believe is your faith. So, as the believed word, in the light of the word, faith is both the sensor. You know what a sensor is? Cars these days have sensors, Abby. Sensors, they use them to detect things around the car, give the car information, and the car adjusts based on what the sensor sees. Faith is a sensor. It senses. But it senses what? So faith is a sensor and what? And a walking. So that action you take, because you have sensed something, is also faith. So it's two there. Faith is a sensor, the means by which we perceive. A writer called Abraham Kuyper, he says faith is how we are certain about invisible things. You know? That there are those things you are seeing. Like, how was the world made? We learned it in the, you know, people are trying to know. If you have faith, and as God has said it, so it is. I made the world in 7 days. The faith of God is what makes you sense that as truth, and you just accept it. You don't need to be proven by any means. You just take it because you are seeing God. You are perceiving it. You are sensing it. That's what faith is. So it's true to you. It's clear like light and day. He says the physical senses of the body are used to perceived tangible things. So my eye, this thing is a table. This thing is brown, right? So they are physical things. That is what your physical senses sense. But faith is used to sense invisible things. So we are certain about God. You can see. You know. But let's look at some. It's also... let's look at some scriptures that when I understood them, they were mind-boggling. Let's look at Psalm 36, 9. Psalm 36 and verse 9. 36 and verse 9. So that we know all these things that God was telling Habakkuk, talking in Habakkuk, and he has been saying since, and since the day he created man, faith will help us to perceive them as truth. He says, for with thee is the fountain of life. That's God. With God is the what? Is the fountain of life. Good. In thy light shall we see what?
Oh.
In thy what? In thy light shall we see the light. If this sun does not come up, there is no way you and I will see ourselves. So God gives the light by which we use the what? To see him. God gives us faith by which we use the what? To see him. In thy light. And that light is the word of God. And that light is to take us somewhere. To take us what? To the fountain of what? Of life. It's not for any other thing. So this faith you are seeing is to take us to the fountain of life, seeing through the light that God gives by his word. Seeing through that light God gives by his word, faith now takes us. We perceive the light, we see it, and we go on the path. Let's look at another one. Let's look at Psalm 119. 108. Psalm 119, verse 105. It's popular, but sometimes we don't know what these things mean. It says, thy word. So it's collaborating what we've read before. Thy word, God's instructions, God's commandments. Right? Thy word is a what? Is a lamp unto my what? My feet. And a light unto my what? My path. No doubt about it. This is the light of God. His word. Right? Is a lamp and also a light. His word. The challenge is, how do you with this light now walk? How would you with this light now? You are seeing the path. How do you now look in and be going to God? Because the light is taking you back to the fountain of life. It is by faith. And we'll see it quickly. Let's look at one guy. One guy. Remember? It says, we walk a light onto my path. So you need to walk. Abi? Let's look at one person. Let's turn to Hebrews and the time is so short, I don't know. It just flies. Let's look at Hebrews. We'll look at let's turn to Hebrews 11 now. Let's turn to Hebrews 11 and look at, in reference to this, let's look at Enoch, Hebrews 11, 5. Let's look at 4 and 5. Let's take them turn by turn. Let's take 4. We'll come back to 3, but let's take 4. Say, by faith, Abel offered unto God an a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was what? Righteous. The witness came from God that he was what? Righteous. God testifying to his gifts, and by it, he being dead yet spake. Being dead yet spake. What does that point to? That shows you that by faith, You are made alive and alive forevermore. Who did Jesus speak to about this? Let's look at John 11:26-25 to collaborate what has happened to Abel. Abel died. Abi? But yet, the Bible says what? By faith, he did what? He spoke. So does a dead man speak? How does a dead man speak? That means he never what? He never died. Let's look at what Jesus said to Mary and Martha. John 11:25-26. John 11:25-26. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, he that hath faith, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he asked her the question, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall what? Shall what? Never die. So, what was God saying concerning Abel? By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous. The just never die. God testifying of his gift, and by it he spake while being dead. Who else is like this? Next man. By faith, Enoch was, I like the way King James puts it. Enoch. Do I still have, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he what? That he pleased God. He was translated. What does that mean? Remember last week, we talked about the righteous, right? And the children of righteous being taken away. Rapture, Abi? You think it is? Look at Enoch now. Is this not Enoch? He was raptured because he had faith. He had faith. So the concept of rapture, we are missing it. And what is so nice is that this is a translation. It's a what? A translation. I want to use Genesis 5:24. Let's look at those two things. And we balance this up. God willing, we'll close now. Genesis 5:24, if you are there. Let's look at Genesis 5. Genesis 5 and 24. Genesis 5:24. And Enoch walked with God. So this is also collaborating what faith is. Faith, we said, is also the what? The walking with God. The walking with God. And when you walk with God, you will be tried. It's also faith. It will generate in you, right, the fruit of the Spirit, which are evidence of your faith. All these men we are listening in Hebrews, all had that. Enoch walked with God. And he was what? He was not. King James English. For God what? Took him. God did what? God took him. Righteous are what? Are taken away. God took him. And look at what Hebrews is saying. He said he translated him. The same thing in Isaiah 57:1-2. The merciful men are taken away because the righteous one died. Now, turn your Bibles to Colossians 1:13-14. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. Who hath delivered us from the power of what? Of darkness. And hath done what? Hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of what? Of sins. Translation, God takes away the sin. He puts in you his righteousness. Faith is the way God does it. Faith is the way God does this. Faith, by it, the just are translated to eternal life from death. So while they are alive, they are what? They are translated. They are walking with God. They never die. Even though their physical body dies, Bible records that they will yet speak. And here we are seeing that translation, that taking away, your conversion. You are taken away, translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son. By it we please God, evidence in our translation. We see that in Hebrews 11:5. By it, the just receive the fear of God in wisdom of doing his will, and thereby inherit his kingdom and his righteousness. Fear, respect, regard for God comes by faith. Don't fear God. You don't have faith. You don't fear God. You don't have faith. And that is what we record in Hebrews, where we read that God told Noah, I'm going to bring a flood. How would you think Noah would have acted if he didn't have the fear or regard for God's word and act on it? Remember, you must walk on the path of the light. Faith does that. So the flood is coming. He has not seen it. So how did he know flood was coming? He had to perceive the invisible. By what? By faith. He had to hope. By faith. That what God has said he will do, God will surely do. Those things, God is imputing righteousness. Because in that thing, in that trial, you have to be patient with God. You have to suffer long. You have to do all the things that generate in you the fruit of the Spirit. When these guys were going through the challenges of their faith, God was putting these things in them. They are required. If not, you will not believe God. So when we go through tough times, when we go through hard times, always think, time will not allow, but next week we'll continue. God is going about walking the fruit that he will see on that day and pass you in to the kingdom. It's not today. Oh. It's not on that day, I mean, that you will now look. So as you are going each day, don't get discouraged. Don't get, but we must look that these things that God uses to try us, there are bad characters in us. They cannot be removed any other way. They cannot be removed any other way. Perhaps you used to be short-tempered before, and by the grace of God, the Lord has worked in your heart. You are considering, and you find that it is going away. Check your life. Those who have been in Christianity, check. There are things we used to do. We do what? We do them no more. Not so much do. The taste is gone. The conscience of sin is gone. So don't give up. God has given us faith by which the just are justified. And it's true, they are justified. They are set free. You are looking at the ways by which God set them free. And that is by faith.